McCook City Council meeting number one for the month of April in our studios. Look, he's back! City Manager Nate Schneider, you've been a busy guy the last month, haven't you?
We had a lot of stuff going on.
Yes, you have.
Sure. Yeah. Can you catch me on the... Do I need to adjust the microphone?
You're good.
Okay, you got fancy new microphone. So
yeah.
Yeah, need to make sure... It's been a while since I've been here.
So it
has upgrade everything and...
Yeah, I think you've been in here since we've had...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't know like if this tilted or if it was supposed to tilt or...
Yeah, you're good right there if that's good with you.
Perfect.
You bet. Oh, hi, Gene Whedon. How are you?
Good morning. I'm flying. Thank you, Rich.
Well, here we go. First meeting for the month of April, guys. And Nate, I know Gene and I were just talking beforehand. Boy, and I know we'll probably get into it in the agenda, but boy, sports complex north of town, they're rolling along, aren't they?
They really are. Yeah, it's amazing how fast that everything is coming together. And we'll go into it in a little more detail here in a bit, but every time I go out there, it seems like there's a new project that they're working on, and the combined efforts of Paulson and Mammoth to get this project done. I mean, it's amazing, and we've had some weather that's been favorable. I know I'd like to have some precipitation, but also at the same time, it's allowed us probably to move a little bit quicker than what we thought we were going to be able to.
That's kind of the case with all the projects north, down here south with Wagner's. I'm sure everybody... You know, their project's going good. They haven't had to worry about any winter or stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's helped them a lot.
It definitely has. Yep.
But Mother Nature, come on.
Yeah,
you got to help us out.
I'm hoping that the forecast holds true this week.
Exactly right. All right, let's get to the agenda from last night. Anything first, announcements and recognitions?
I believe there is a planning commission meeting next Monday. At 5:15, they're reviewing the zoning changes now. They're continuing to do that, and then when they get done, they'll bring it back to the council. So next Monday night at 5:15, there's a planning commission meeting.
Proclamations, and this is a big one coming up for that would be starting Sunday through all of next week. Public Safety Telecommunicators Week, and you couldn't operate day by day without these people, could you?
No. Kevin. Just informed the council last night that we have right now six, I believe, current, telecommunicators, two in training right now. Mm-hmm. We have a 911 coordinator. Someone asked Kevin how many phone calls, and he said, I think, 24,000 phone calls we took in last week. Okay. And then I wrote down the counties that we cover, and I'm sure I may have probably forget somebody, but Redwell County, we do our police, we do Indianola, we do Bartley, we do Beaver Valley, and then we do Red Willow West.
Red Willow Rural.
Rural. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we do the surrounding counties also. So we just couldn't operate without them, especially now with the situation with the fires, and we just want to thank them for what they do. They do an important job, so... We appreciate what you do, and we want to honor them this week with this proclamation.
Yeah, I'm sure those folks who relay all the messages, not only McCook Police and McCook Fire, but with Hitchcock and with Frontier and with Furnace or Decatur, even Northwest Kansas, those folks relate to those folks too, don't they?
Definitely. Our team, we're kind of the leader of our area, and it's kind of unique that a city actually run the dispatch center. Most of the times you'll see a county that does so. We're fortunate we've got good relationships with all of our public safety partners. But we're kind of the core of the Southwest Nebraska area. The one thing that, I think it's hard for people to understand, the calls that come in, they range from, your mundane calls to the most panic calls that you could possibly imagine. And dealing with those kinds of emotions and dealing with the strain that goes along with really, really stressful situations, it's not easy. It takes special people to be able to do that. And the people that work over at the dispatch center, they learn to handle those phone calls. They're human, and so trying to cope with some of those things, it's always tough. They do a job that most people probably wouldn't want to do, and in some cases probably couldn't do. It just takes a special person that has empathy but can stay controlled and clear thinking when you need to. And so we're very fortunate to have the people we have. Jen kind of leads the group. You've got Crystal. You have a lot of people that have been there for a while, Dennis. David, people that have been there for quite a while, and we're very fortunate to have what we have. I think that I'd put our dispatch center against anybody's dispatch center in the state.
And it's a 24/7 gig. You got to have people, 24/7. You know, midnight to 6 a.m. You got to have somebody there.
Yeah, it's hard to staff. And when we're running short, it's really difficult. And people have been willing to go ahead and fill the void. You know, you do have turnover in that spot because it's a draining job, you know, and so we've had a good core group of people that have been willing to go ahead and stay the course. I just think that, you know, it's hard for people to understand the amount of pressure and stress that comes through that dispatch center, especially since we've been integrating new technologies. We've spent over the course of the past 5 to 6 years, you know, with the new dispatch center and everything else, the complementary pieces, whether it's radios or whatever the case may be, probably upwards of around $1 million. You know, some of it was ARPA, some of it's general fund. But we've wanted to make sure that we were compliant with the most new technologies. We wanted to make sure that we were compliant with the state radio system. We're kind of the guinea pig in some cases because everybody is trying to get to this, but we were able to achieve it faster than most. But trying to deal with the human element, then also trying to deal with the technical element, you know, all in one fell swoop within a 4 or 5 year period of time, it's pretty amazing what they've done. So good group of people. We're very fortunate. I know our police department and other departments around our region, they rely on our people, and I know they feel confident that we're going to get the job done whenever we're on duty. So
once again, Public Safety Telecommunicators Week starts on Sunday and all of next week. Consent agenda, bunch of items there. What was pulled? What wasn't?
Nothing was pulled.
Wow.
Can I just go through a couple of those things,
please? You may.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll start with, first of all, we approved on for the McCook Rotary Club on August 4th to close some streets around Norris Park for the National Night Out. We've had that several times in the past, so this is nothing new, but so we approved that. Then the next thing is September 18th and 19th. Sarah has requested the use of Norris Park for the Heritage Days, so we approve that. And then, let's see, going on. July 16th, the Chamber of Commerce is going to have closed Norris Avenue for their third annual Thursday Night Family Fun on the Bricks event. Then on, okay, the next thing we okayed was, let's see, that is, oh, the 21st, oh, through the, okay, 21st through October, the Chamber has asked that we close off the parking lot located at East 1st and D Street for Thursday night from 5 to 8 p.m. to have a farmer's market, and then Sarah wants to also put up a banner to inform the public of the event. We did this last year, so this is the second year we did this. Then, going on, the next thing is something we've done, and this is going to be the 10th anniversary. We approved the street closing for the 10th annual Cruise of the Bricks Cruise Night that the Wagner family had puts on. And then, let's see, the next thing was on May 21st, June 18th, and August 20th, September 17th, and October 15th, we're going to do McCook Creative District is going to close Norris Avenue for their Thursday night events. And I think, oh, one more thing. Autumn Miller, who is general manager of Anytime Fitness, wants to do a 5K run on Saturday, September the 19th, around the city of McCook. So there were a number of things we closed off, but upcoming events.
And a lot of that, again, dealing with Heritage Days. I know you're hearing about this all the time at your household, aren't you?
dealing with Sarah. I mean, watch out. No, I think that she thought I'm going to get everything on the same council agenda so I don't have to worry about it later this summer.
Right,
so
right.
So she threw a lot of dates out, as did the Creative District. And, you know, I think that it's awesome that Autumn Miller over at Anytime Fitness takes on the 5K. Just a lot of cool events, and there's a lot that goes into it, making sure that we're properly insured so that way if anybody gets hurt, it doesn't fall back onto the taxpayers. You know, making sure that we're all aware of what the routes are going to be when we have different events, whether it's a parade or, you know, horse-drawn carriages at Christmas time or 5Ks, or whatever. You know, just making sure that we try to seamlessly transition from public use to more of a public slash specific use. And when we do this, we make sure that we talk to the people that make their applications, bring their applications in, try to come up with a game plan. The cool thing is now we've done it so many times, we have a pretty good feel for what needs to be closed, what works, what doesn't. Whether it's along Norris for a third Thursday event any other event that we may have, you know, we're pretty comfortable with the processes and what needs to be done to make sure that we're doing so and also keeping the taxpayers in mind.
Regular agenda, move on to that. Consider the approval of a request Southwest Nebraska Freedom Festival Committee to use ACE funds in the amount of $1,500 for the 4th of July fireworks display.
Yeah, Dan Miller came last night representing the committee and just requested that ACE funds be used for the fireworks. We talked about what would happen if it rained out, or what would happen if we had a ban on fireworks, what would happen. So they requested $1,500 from the ACE funds. They did last year. We gave them $1,500 last year. We approved that this year also, Rich, that we're going to give them $1,500 for the fireworks. This year from the ACE funds, we got back $19,380 back, and we've used that. We'll use it for things like this. Sarah has come to us from the Chamber of Commerce asking for money to advertise for all the events that she has listed there, from Heritage Days to Christmas, the parade and everything. So we did that last night. So
this year, the big thing that we want to earmark the money for, we're going to ask the council to consider putting up some shade structures at the sports complex. We have about $42,000. After you take into consideration the Freedom Festival and all the events that the Chamber runs, whether it's Heritage Days or Cruise Night or the Christmas celebration. But we want to make sure that we utilize those funds for the shade structures. It gets very, very warm. I know, Rich, you know better than anybody else what it's like at the sports complexes that you ump at. So we've got $42,000 that we're going to ask for the council to earmark for shade purposes.
Yep, that will help out, no question about it. Going back to, if it doesn't rain, we might not be shooting fireworks up 4th of July.
Yeah, actually, Mark Harpum had mentioned that. Chief Harpum had said that, and I remember back in 2012, I was still city attorney at the time. That was a really bad drought year. And we had to do some things maybe like a week or 2 weeks prior to the council meeting, right before 4th of July. I mean, it was a struggle. Mm-hmm. If we're in a similar situation to what we were back in 2012, we're probably going to ask the public to do the same thing. We'll see. Hopefully, it seems like we're just delayed in our weather patterns, like we're a month or 2 months off. It's really weird. But it seems like, what we used to get in March and April, now we're getting in May and June. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, I'm hopeful that this week is kind of the harbinger of things to come, but we'll see.
You had something else, Gene?
Well, I just want to thank the Wagner family for what they do for their cruise night. It's been an awesome event. I know it's a lot of planning on their part, Garrett and Ashley and Chandler and Tricia and Chris Wagner. So I just want to thank them because it brings a lot of people into the community. It's a big event, and a lot of people look forward to it. And I thank them for it because it's an awesome event. It's not cheap for what they do. So thank you, guys.
Might be the last year they have it downtown because you'll have it out here. I take it at their new place, you would think.
I have no idea what their plans are. I think kind of the cruise. I mean, I don't know, Rich, you probably remember. The cruise pattern of McCook was pretty well established.
Yeah.
So when I was a kid, I mean, the route that they take is the route that we took.
Right.
So I don't know if you ever changed that route.
True.
I think that route is kind of the go-to for all McCookites.
Right.
So.
Right. B Street, Norris, and just keep repeating.
Yeah, we turn process. Around. We turn around over at Gibson's, then we get back on to B Street, and usually I think the Methodist Church is where we would make our turn. So sometimes there are water balloons involved. Sometimes there were. I'm just trying to think of. Yeah, we probably weren't always the easiest kids, but that is the tried and true route all McCook cruisers.
It is. All right. Update regarding the youth sports complex project.
Man, I tell you what, like I said, there's a lot going on out there. If you get a chance, and we'll probably, maybe not right now because they're going to be pouring concrete, but at some point in time I want to try to get people back out there, and maybe it's going to be closer to the time that we open. And who knows, maybe that time frame gets moved up a bit. I know September is kind of what we've been gearing up for, but with the way that everything is progressing, who knows? I've been out there a couple of times this week, not as much here recently, but they're putting the turf down on the championship baseball field, and they're grading the championship softball field. Looks like that's pretty close to being ready for turf. They're pouring concrete around some of the fourplex areas and then over by the soccer field. They had their forms up, so you could see that they were starting to really make some progress over there. Siding up on the buildings, painted, you know, all the things that you would expect, you know, in that final formation, it's starting to kind of come together. And then on the infrastructure side, I just can't believe how fast things are moving. All the water is installed, all the sewer is installed. The storm sewer minus the detention ponds are complete. The detention ponds will be the next thing that gets worked on. And then you see the streets coming in. Paulson now is putting in the streets. You've got the street on Q Street. It's the ancillary street that's taking you to the sports complex from Q. And then today they're going to start paving from the highway to the sports complex. And that's going to be between Samways and Barnett's. And so they had all the equipment out yesterday, gearing up for it. And today is going to be when they start. And if you had a chance to kind of watch how quickly the Q Street project went, I expect this is probably going to go just as fast. We do have a meeting on the 9th with all of the infrastructure crew, NPPD, everybody else will be a part of that conversation just to make sure we're all on the same page. That's led by David Blau over at Miller & Associates. But it's just amazing when you watch all this kind of come together. And then we are working with the appraiser consultant to get some values on the commercial lots and on the multifamily lots. And hopefully we can get those on the market here as quickly as possible. So now we can start seeing who else is going to want to be located out there. There's a lot of interest. The EDC has done a good job of working with the retail coach to go ahead and tout the lots. We know that there are developers that are very interested. I had conversations with some here this past week. So it's just an exciting time. This is going to be something totally new for McCook. And then we're even talking about bringing in the University of Nebraska at Kearney to kind of serve as a sounding board for citizens, just to ask them what would they like to see out of the sports complex. You know, what does this look like? You know, how do we go about developing this? And then, you know, what does it look like moving forward into the future? Now that you've got sewer out there, what else can we do out there? I guess I just would tell people, just kind of keep your eyes open and watch and see what's going to happen, because over the next few years, it's going to really change and open a lot of doors for McCook. So it's really an exciting time.
Ordinance with the city of McCook on swimming pool fees for the summertime.
A city staff's been working with a new software, Rich, to help them streamline the way that fees are processed at the McCook Aquatic Park. And so there was a number of pricing options last year that caused a lot of confusion, and there was a lot of overlap, etc. So this year the city staff has asked that, for example, number one, we eliminate the babysitter grandparents season pass, which was $40, and just replace it with a senior citizen 60 and plus pass at $40, and then eliminate the lap swimming water walking session, which was $45, and lap swimming water walking daily pass at $3, and then you can still get it, but you would have to buy a regular daily pass or a regular season pass. So this just would help us. The software will allow us to take reservations and payments for other city-owned properties such as Car Park or the auditorium, et cetera. So it just makes it easier for the staff. So we did that, and so we approved it last night. We passed an ordinance that we eliminated some of those things and just said, okay, we're going to eliminate the babysitting one, but you can buy a senior pass for the same price. So it's no difference. So
pool is scheduled to open when?
Probably that Memorial Day weekend again. We're still in the process of trying to hire more staff, more lifeguards. There's actually going to be a job fair up at the high school tomorrow. Sarah's putting that on. And so we're going to try to get some high schoolers to sign up. If high schoolers want to be lifeguards, we will pay for the training. That's the city obligation that we've decided to take on. so that way we're able to provide the swimming pool as a service for the public. But last year, I think we had 40 employees. It takes a lot to run that pool. We've got 11 stations that require lifeguards if we're doing this properly, without having to close out certain sections. And so we talk about 11 lifeguards at one time, you know, back in the day when it was me and Rob Martin and Paul Monzon and Sarah Hall and Joni Beaker and Taylor Bonneau. There's probably some others too.
Nice job. You're name dropping. Really nice.
Yeah.
Nice
there job, there were six of us. That was a thing. There are seven of us.
Right.
I take it back. There's eight. No, seven. You got one day off a week.
Uh-huh.
And then you would get 1 week of vacation. That's all you get. It doesn't work that way anymore.
Uh-huh.
Now you got to have all these different events during the summer, whether it's basketball camps or whatever the case may be. And so we need to have more people, because even at 40, there were times last year where we had to close down certain areas of the pool. So, you know, it's changed and priorities have changed. But on our end, we have to continue to make sure that we're trying to keep our services as streamlined and operational as possible. So working on that, we've got our pool managers in place, which is awesome. We've got a couple of pool managers coming back from last year. They did a fantastic job. They'll do a fantastic job again this year. We're just ecstatic to have both of them coming back. So we are moving forward and looking forward to another summer of the McCook Aquatic Park.
So once again, if you want to be a lifeguard for the city pool, once again, for the summertime, get signed.
Applications are out, yeah. Okay. So we've been advertising. You know, get an application to our HR director, that's Lilia Demas. Like I said, tomorrow we're going to actively go to the high school and recruit some kids. You know, it was really a good tool for us here this last year. And so we're going to try it again this year. We're also looking, I mean, if you don't want to be a lifeguard, we're also going to look for summer help in our other departments, whether it's public works or utilities or wherever else. So hopefully the kids get a chance to attend the event tomorrow and we get a bunch of good recruits for the summertime.
Okay. We're all ready to council comments.
Jerry asked about the playground equipment at Barnett Park, and I believe the equipment is here. It's sitting down at the south city lot. We're just waiting for the individuals to come out and to install it. So it probably this spring sometime?
Yeah, that was always the plan. We knew that we were going to get the Kelly Park project done in the fall, or that was our hope. And then Barnett was going to have to wait till spring because it was going to get too cold after they got done with the Kelly Park project, which who would have known that it didn't get that cold.
Yeah.
But typically this time of the year, it's still fairly cold. And so so we're just waiting to hear back from the installation company, but they will be installing it here this spring. And it's going to be another neat feature. I think it's a couple $100,000 as far as the playground cost. And that is made possible through the RCRP grant. Thank you, State of Nebraska. That was a $1.5 million grant that we were fortunate enough to receive. It was a long application, but we got it in, and we got the most out of any town in the state.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to portion $200,000 of that for Barnett Park.
One more thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I brought up the Choice Gas election period started last Thursday and goes to the 22nd. So April 2nd through the 22nd is the Choice Gas selection period. Again, there are 8 suppliers of natural gas. I would highly recommend people look into it. If they could, please pick ACE because ACE gives back to the community. I'll just give you a rundown real quickly. In the years that McCook has been a member of ACE, we've received $243,000 back from ACE. We have spent $190,000 on different projects, like the fireworks, and I would just go through. There's a whole list of things. So, and again, like I said, we got back $19,380 this last year. ACE is the only one that gives back directly to the community. So if you could, please pick ACE. It benefits the city of McCook tremendously.
And Gene's been a great representative for us on the ACE board. He advocates for the city of McCook. He touts the ACE program. And so we appreciate that because that means we're able to go ahead and put money towards vans over at the senior center, or band shell refurbishment efforts, or PRT-related items. There's a property on West 4th Street that we use those dollars for to go ahead and remove after a fire. We've used it for projects over at the auditorium. We've used it for tasers for the police department. There have just been a lot of different projects that we've been able to put it towards. Plus, we've been able to use it for promotional efforts to bring people into McCook, whether it's through the chamber or, you know, neat things to do like the Freedom Festival. The fact that there are people out there that are willing to put that on, that the city doesn't have to do that, that's great. But we need to make sure that we're helping out and supporting that. So anyway, ACE has been fantastic for us. I would hope that everybody would consider selecting ACE during the choice period.
Anything on that final item?
That was housekeeping. So we actually, we had two resolutions back in 2022 to go ahead and create basically a new position over at the fire department. When we completed our negotiations for the newest contract with the two collective bargaining units over at the Local 2100, those two resolutions, the material within those resolutions, they were omitted accidentally. We forgot to put it in there. So we just asked the department or the collective bargaining units if they'd be willing to go ahead and allow us to add those. They had no issues with that. So we're just basically catching up to things that we've done over the last 4 or 5 years for the contract that were outside of what we did this last collective bargaining session. So it was just housekeeping.
Next meeting is coming up on the 20th, Planning Commission meeting. Anything?
Yep, on the 13th. We'll talk about zoning, and there'll be a discussion regarding different types of maybe low density, whether it's RV or tiny houses or whatever the case may be. There'll be some discussion regarding that. I know that we've had people come in and they've expressed an interest in developments. And so just try to figure out, you know, if it works for us and how things would progress if that was a direction we decided to go.
All right. Good meeting. Lots of good information last night.
Yeah, that consent agenda was packed. And just because we don't pull stuff off the consent agenda doesn't mean that it's not important. Mm-hmm. But it is a way for us to streamline the process. It was a half an hour meeting. But we put these reports out there in advance so that way the council has a chance to read it. So it's not like we're hiding anything. And everybody has a chance to go ahead and pull it. You know, Mayor Taylor asks at every meeting, does anybody want to pull anything? And so if people want to talk about the items, they're more than welcome to.